Welcome to Sideline Judgment. My name is Sergio.
My name is Tyler.
And today we will be talking about the travesty that happened in Gillette Stadium, the annihilation that happened at Lincoln Financial Field, and afterwards, we're going to go ahead and give our top five moments from the bowl season. I know it's a little bit late, but we've had this thing called the NFL playoffs. Don't know if you've heard of them. They have been happening, and they're in full swing. We're going to go ahead and review these two conference championships, and then we'll talk about Tyler and I's bowl season recap. How do we call it? What are we doing?
Just like
moments,
takeaways, I guess.
Moments,
takeaways from bowl. Bowl season. The big things that stood out. We're not going to go into like every single game, but
excluding the college football playoff because we talked about that way too much. And those were hands down. Two of those three games were hands down the best games of the year. Before we do that, Tyler, I hear you have a few words to say about your Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yeah. It's my obituary.
I'm going to sit back and listen.
It is what I'm about to go on is my obituary of the Jaguars 2017 and 2018 season. And look, all of y'all listening, we lost the other day.
Yeah, you did.
Jaguars fell 24-20 at Gillette Stadium to the New England Patriots after leading for most of the game.
Yeah.
And coming out hot, proven to the world that we were not a fluke.
Up we belonged. 20-7, was it?
Yeah. 20-10.
20-10 at one point. That's what it was.
We were up. I think our largest lead was 14-3. We had an 11-point lead at one point.
Cool.
If y'all are coming here to look for, we got screwed by the refs.
It's not going to happen.
I'm not going to go
listen,
that way. I'm not even going to get too angry about this.
And I'm not even going to lie. There were some text messages between Tyler and I during the game that said, I distinctively told Tyler with a little bit more expletives, I said, I am sick and tired of the Patriots getting every single 50-50 call across the league, across every single game, which is true, but it doesn't necessarily, it's not the reason the Jags lost.
No, I mean, the thing is, what you said right there is another reason that I don't even think that's an excuse, because you just said, I'm so sick and tired of this happening, which means that everyone knows that this is the kind of stuff that happens. You know, going into Gillette Stadium, Patriots are going to get calls to go their way.
Across all sports, we know that star players are going to get those calls.
Yeah.
You know, in basketball, you know that LeBron's going to get a few calls here and there. LeBron travels every 8 possessions. He never gets it called, you know?
Yeah, but my point really here is if you're looking for that kind of complaining and anger, it's not coming from me because when you really sit down, it hurts in the moment. It hurt more than losing any game I'd ever watched this Jaguars team play.
Yeah, I fell for you.
I had never seen them play in a game that meant as much as that game, and a game that we were so close to winning. But if you take a step back and look at it, it was a pretty freaking amazing season.
Yeah, I wish the Dolphins had your season.
We were picked in the power rankings by NFL Network as the 31st best team. So that's second to last.
The Browns, right?
Browns are last.
Okay, cool.
What do you think?
I think the Dolphins are 27.
But that was a preseason prediction. We finished in the top four. We went from 3-13 to 12-7 overall. And that is, I believe, one of the greatest turnarounds in sports history. If we had made the Super Bowl, it would have been the greatest turnaround in the Super Bowl era for any team to ever make a Super Bowl. And to sit back, I'm hurt that we lost. And we lost by giving the game away, kind of. Mm-hmm. We played a little too conservative. I'm not diagnosing the game. I remember I listened to some of the press conferences, and the reason a lot of people were saying Fournette kept just running up the middle on first down. Well, what they said that what really happened is they were trying to run some zone read, some read option with Blake Bortles, but the Patriots' edge defenders weren't letting him keep the ball.
Right.
So we just had to keep handing it off. And my biggest thing personally that I think we lost the game is we started straying away from what got us the lead in the first place, which was using Corey Grant and TJ Yeldon in creative ways, getting, you know, multiple back formations, using players that the Patriots hadn't seen, movement, you know, those kind of like creative offensive play calling, which was designed very well.
Mm-hmm.
But we got away from it because we were trying to play conservative, and I guess we didn't fully believe, you know, you didn't believe fully in Blake Bortles to just go out and win you the game.
Mm-hmm.
Can't blame them for that. But you look back at this season, and I this is the greatest season that I've ever been a part of been able to watch. And it's easy for me to say that.
Across now as just a Jags fan or across all of your teams?
From because I've – because of, like, I wasn't – like, when we won the national championships with the Gators, I wasn't really following them, you know? Like, I was following them, but not to, like – I was really
– Right, because, like, that feeling – and I know you guys, listeners, can't see Tyler, but the energy that I'm getting from you right now reminds me of the 06 Heat Championship. Like, you see a team that's been – in this difference, you see a team that's struggled and struggled and struggled – for so long. Now, granted, the Heat made it to the conference finals in 04 and 05. But, you know, it's just kind of that over the hump. We were down 0-2 in the finals. We won four straight. That's the kind of energy I'm getting from you. That's how you're proud of this team.
To say that I'm not proud of what this team did this season would be just remarkably short-sighted. It's amazing to see where this team is. This team has the ability and I think the energy to compete for many more years to come.
Right.
Who's to say that that game won't be in Jacksonville next season?
Right.
Like, I mean, Jeff Darlington went down to the week and he tweeted that this team, more than most teams he'd ever covered, had the feeling that from him that it was built to last.
Yeah.
And I think that I can't be more proud of the way this team performed all year. Four of our last five games were on the road.
And you won.
And I won. We won
at least
three out of those five games. Yeah. Three out of those five games.
And two of those three, and two of those in the playoffs.
Yeah.
It's not easy to win on the road.
No, it's like two out of the five games. But it was an amazing season. It's a tough loss.
Mm-hmm.
Officiating was, you know, it was what it was. I don't think that the NFL is rigged or there's a conspiracy going on.
No, but
you don't get calls your way. You don't get them against the Patriots. Everybody knows that. Mm-hmm. You gotta. And I'm glad that a lot of the players had this mentality that they did feel cheated, but they still felt like they didn't like they need to overcome that.
Right.
A lot of them said in their post game interviews, "There's like, even when that happens, you gotta overcome." Like. And we didn't.
Well, that's what a championship team does.
Yeah, and that's really, I mean, that's really all I got. I mean, the season was such a roller coaster.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you start 3-3, your wins are great, your losses are pretty bad. Then they get over the hump with the Cincinnati win, which is, I believe the Cincinnati win was the first time we'd won two straight.
Yes, the first time you won on an odd week.
Yeah.
You'd only won on even weeks before that.
I believe so, yeah. And
you even won the bye week when you made the trade.
Yes. And then we go on and finish this regular season 10-6, get a home playoff game. Like, if you would have told me before the season this team would make it to the AFC Championship on top of having hosted a playoff game that I would get to go to, like with my dad, with everything, mm-hmm. I would have slapped you in the face. I want to say, I'm sorry. I just thought you were trying to – took that joke the wrong way.
Don't tease me.
And then you'd be like, no, I was serious, and then I would slap you again. But here we are. I think the Jacksonville Jaguars are here to stay, personally. That's not just me being biased.
No, and from I am an outside, biased. From an outside perspective, I believe so, too. I think the Luck injury is much worse than anyone else knows. I think it's going to be you guys and the Texans. I think the AFC South is going to be one of the most competitive leagues.
I think so, too.
Divisions in football for a few years to come. Deshaun.
Yeah.
You guys with your defense. The Colts, hopefully their coach utilizes Mariota properly. If Luck comes back healthy, yeah. that's a pretty good.
Yeah. And even if Luck doesn't come back, I think Jacoby Brissett, under good coaching, can win
capable.
A lot of games.
Yeah, to compete for like a wild card spot. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think it's going to be a competitive league going forward. I think personally, it's the most interesting division in college professional football.
We're not there yet.
We're not there yet. In professional football, because it's got a bunch of teams that like clearly have potential.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be interesting to see if that potential is realized.
Right.
I think real quick, that's all I really got to say about the season. Fantastic season. Could not be more proud. I'm not going to get hot. I'm not going to let the Patriots beat us again. I'm not going to let them beat us twice. I'm not going to let them take how proud I am of this season away from us.
Okay. I say that every year. Okay. But, you know.
Well, they don't beat you twice. They beat you once.
That's very true. We do take that Miami game often.
But, yeah, that's really all I got to say.
So then let's go ahead and move to.
Well, I have to ask you a question.
Oh, ask me. Go ahead.
Because you always ask me this question. I'm going to ask you this question.
Oh, boy.
Do you think Blake Bortles is the quarterback for the Jacksonville Jaguars going forward? You watched this game, correct?
Yeah, I did.
All right.
I've watched every Jags game since after the Cardinals game.
Oh, that makes me so proud.
After the Cardinals game, I watched every Jags game. Because I honestly, I just don't think they conflicted with the Dolphin games. And they're available here in Gainesville.
Don't ruin it. But,
sorry. So the question was, do I think Blake Bortles
is the quarterback going forward? I want a two-pronged answer from you.
Okay.
They can be the same thing if they're there. What do you think will happen?
Uh-huh.
As in, like, what do you think, like, oh, is he deserved it? Are they going to keep him?
Mm-hmm.
And two, what do you think should happen? You know? Like, is that the – is like, is – one should be like, this is what I would do in, like, if I had it, like, what's the football smart move? And mm-hmm. other ones, what do you think will happen?
I think the football
smart... I know how I feel about this.
From an outsider's perspective.
Yes.
I think the football smart move... first of all, let me preface this. My good friend Mo, shout out to Mo, who's Eagles in the Super Bowl. My good friend Mo always says, you cannot win in this league without a true franchise quarterback. And I... for years, tried to make the argument that Ryan Tannehill was a franchise quarterback. I then realized Ryan Tannehill, he's not. He's a very good quarterback in this league. But if you want to win a championship, you need a franchise quarterback. And my point is proven this year with Blake, or Mo's point is proven this year with Blake Bortles, where to get all the, excuse me, to get all the way there and to win the title, you need a franchise quarterback. Now, I think... like when the Ravens won the title with Joe Flacco, I think...
there's exceptions to every
rule. There's always exceptions to every rule, and I think Bortles could have been that exception. Now, if they want to move forward and continue to progress, I think what they should do is sign a high-level free agent quarterback, is look for Bradford or Bridgewater or even Keenum. I'll even take Keenum. They could look for Kirk Cousins. They could go in that direction of trying to sign. Not many people realize this, but Jimmy GQ is a free agent after this year. I think he'll stay with the Niners.
We're going to take that off the table because San Francisco's not going to let him leave.
No, they're not. They're going to give him all the money in the world. And Shanahan, he's Shanahan's guy. Like, let's face it. He has a great
relationship. I would see that he'd be ridiculous to leave.
I think so, too. So try to go after someone like that. You know, Kirk Cousins, a Bradford, and use maybe an Alex Smith. Use those kind of quarterbacks to ride off of the wave of your defense and make improvements. What I think will happen is the Jags are going to draft a quarterback, but not one of these high-level quarterbacks. They're going to draft a quarterback in maybe the second, third, fourth round and have him compete with Blake Bortles. And ultimately, I think Blake Bortles will win the starting job.
That's interesting.
That's what I think will happen. I think they should go after a quarterback, though. In the offseason.
What I think...
Let's clarify this. When I say go after a quarterback, I mean sign a high-level free agent quarterback that's going to come out of the market. Or trade up and draft one of the good quarterback prospects.
Yeah, I think so. Here's what I think... I'm going to blur the line of the question I just asked you in the sense that, like, what I haven't really separated what I think will and should. I think they're kind of converging on what I think.
Well, just tell me, yeah.
What I think should / will happen, they're going to ask Bortles to take a pay cut.
I agree. Is he a free agent after this year?
This is his fifth year option. So
this year was his option.
No, this upcoming year is his fifth year
option. So you're thinking they might decline? Is it a team option?
I think so.
So you think they might decline the option and try to negotiate?
They already accepted it, so they might be able to decline it and then try to renegotiate his contract.
Renegotiate? Okay.
They're probably going to try and renegotiate his contract because they like him as a person.
That's what I'm saying. He fits in that organization. He's good in the locker room.
He's the most Jacksonville, like, personality-wise, he is the most Duval quarterback we've ever had.
Mm-hmm.
And he fits with the people like him as a person.
Right.
The players got his back.
The locker room has his back, yeah.
So that can't be understated. I think what they're gonna do, they're gonna ask him to take a pay cut because they're gonna be like, if you take a pay cut, we can get better weapons,
mm-hmm.
we can get better pieces around you,
which is true,
which is true. Like, that wouldn't be a lie. what happens next is entirely dependent on what he says to that. Mm. If he asks for more money,
I think
he's gone. First of all, because Tom Coughlin is not the type of person to like.
No, Tom.
To be, because that's gonna. I mean, Dave Caldwell is gonna be a big part in this, but he really ultimately it's gonna come down to like, is Tom Coughlin gonna be willing to pay him money? Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I don't think so.
Tom Coughlin is very loyal to his quarterbacks, but
yeah, but he's not Eli.
He's not Eli, yes.
He's not Eli talent level or productivity level. He had a good back end of the year.
He had a really good back end of the year, which has...
But a back end of the year doesn't...
It's got me hopeful for the fact that Nathaniel Hackett, I think, has done... He's been up and down this season as an offensive coordinator. They're going to keep him, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. I think both of the offensive coordinators are a little too... the offensive and defensive coordinators are a little too... Little too conservative for my personal taste, but I think they're going to keep both of them because they're pretty good. Mm-hmm. If they can just look at this year, take what they know worked, build that with Blake Bortles over the offseason, he could probably have a better year next year. Maybe.
Mm-hmm. That's an option.
What I think is going to happen is that what I've been arguing the whole season is that what he does in the season is going to shift the asking price for a quarterback for us.
What he does... Yes.
Because now you're at this point, it's like, okay, so our ceiling right now is 10 wins in the regular season, AFC championship berth. Mm-hmm. How much money are you willing to bet on somebody to improve that? Because right now, with the way they're... I mean, first of all, Chad Henne's not coming back. He's the end of his contract.
That's not a problem.
Well, I mean, like, yeah. So
speaking of regardless Chad of the Henne situation, is a starter for 2 years, that's not a problem.
Chad Henne's gone as the backup, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. They're not. I mean, they probably love him to death, but they're not going to resign him. Which means that I think that whatever they do personally, I think they're going to try and keep Blake Bortles on the roster. Mm-hmm. They're either going to bring in a veteran for competition, mm-hmm, and see whoever wins the job, or they're going to draft. I'm thinking more first or second rounder. Maybe
meaning trade up or use that pick.
I don't know if they'll trade up.
I think there's so much talent in the first two rounds of the draft that you can find gems at other positions. I'm sure you could strengthen up your offensive line. It'd be nice to get another offensive weapon for whoever the quarterback is to pair, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, depending on what happens at wide receiver, because Marquise Lee's probably going to ask for wide receiver number one money, and he's not going to get it from us.
Well, he's not Allen Robinson.
Well, yeah, and a lot of this doesn't
Allen Robinson was hurt.
A lot
this
of this does depend if Allen Robinson decides to sign with the team again.
Is he a free agent?
I believe so, because the whole deal is it's going to be about money. Because I'm convinced Allen Robinson wants to stay with the team.
Yeah, especially after we're seeing.
But
this.
It's going to be them being like, "Well, you were out the entire season.
And
we haven't seen that. I mean, you've been an elite wide receiver." Mm-hmm. It's like, you've been out the entire season. We're not going to pay you as much money as we probably would if you had played the whole season. And it's going to be like, is he okay with taking that pay cut? Mm-hmm. I think he'd be fine with it, personally. Yeah. But we've got good rookie wide receivers. I think we definitely need to add a tight end O-line in the draft. Mm-hmm. Maybe another receiving target. Getting off topic. But they're going to bring in another quarterback for competition. I think they draft a quarterback at some point regardless.
I think so. I think that's the point.
I think if you don't do that at some point, you're stupid.
Yeah.
But I think he's on the roster next season. Is he the starter?
I think he's on the roster. I don't know if he's a starter.
I would say right now, I would say he's 60-40 chance he is the starter.
I would bet that.
All right.
I would take that bet.
Anyway, so moving on.
Moving on. I mean, do we have much to say about these games? One, because we just talked a lot about the Jags. And two, the Eagles game was over at halftime. So, the Vikings didn't show up. They showed up for one drive.
They showed up for the first drive. They looked great on that first drive.
Then Case Keenum threw a pick six, which wasn't entirely his fault. But to be 1,000% honest, like, I don't really have much to say. I mean, it's just Eagles, Pats, and the Super Bowl. We have breaking news. Pat Shurmur has been named the head coach of the New York Football Giants. He was the offensive coordinator for the Minnesota Vikings, so... Looks like he doesn't have to make a decision on quarterback. Hey, maybe he'll trade for Bridgewater or something. I don't know.
I don't know, maybe.
That'd be interesting.
Which is another thing I was just going to bring up real quick when you're talking about Bridgewater. Mm-hmm. I'd be careful with trading for Bridgewater in a sense that, like, the Jaguars might move that. The Jaguars might see that as a lateral move with...
I don't think that's a lateral move.
I mean, we can debate whether it is or not, mm-hmm, but they would probably see it that way. They'd be like, unproven-ish starter with a lot of potential.
And injury history.
kind of bad the same as history. Our unproven starter
with potential talent. And they're in the same draft class.
Yeah, I don't know.
Which also, like we said earlier, we think the Vikings are going to extend his, are going to do his rookie
player oh, they're gonna, his option. They're, yeah.
But that's besides the point. We're going to have a draft show
later
on.
But yeah, Case lost himself a lot of money in this game.
Yeah, man.
He lost Case himself a lost lot himself of money.
QB1 money. He really did. And I feel bad for the guy.
Well, I feel like he had a great now, year. Now his best chance is just to stay on the Vikings. He had a fantastic season, but his best chance, I think, is to just try and stay with the Vikings.
Yep. Yeah. And then Bradford, since we're on the top, we've already talked about Bridgewater. Well, I mean, game.
Whatever. But yeah, Eagles going to the Super Bowl.
Congrats to all our Eagles friends. They looked insane.
I didn't.
I had to double check to see if Nick it was number Foles 11 was, or number 9 out there because looked like Wentz for a few throws there.
Nick Foles was fooling all of us. Bro, in the last three games. Dude, 26 he fooled all of us
for 33, 352, and 3 touchdowns.
And now they got 2 weeks to prepare.
2 weeks to rest. Oh, speaking of rest, what about that Gronk concussion? What do you think?
I mean, I think that call deserved the flag.
Not the call. I'm sure the call. Oh. I'm talking recovery for the Super Bowl.
Oh, I think he'll be able to play by the Super Bowl.
Okay. Do you think he will play, or do you think he'll be fully healthy to play?
2 weeks is a long time.
Mm-hmm.
This
is also a concussion, and he looked really bad.
I know. Yeah. Well, here's my. He's going to play.
Yeah, he'll play.
Will he be ready to?
Probably not.
It's 2 weeks, so maybe it's going to be a lot better by the time it gets to that point.
Right.
But I think he's going to play.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't play last year, but that was because he was, like, legitimately injured. No,
he could have moved. Yeah.
Like, but they're not going to let him
miss. We're going to go ahead and move on to college football. Next week, we'll be having our Super Bowl preview show, since it is 2 weeks from now.
Mm-hmm.
If you're in for some football this Sunday, the Pro Bowl at 3:00 on ESPN, if you're interested. Also, we have speaking of college football, the Reese's Senior Bowl will be this Saturday at what, 2:30?
2:30
on NFL Network. You can watch Mobile, the Gators. Alabama. You can watch the Gators take on Baylor in basketball, which Tyler and I will be at that game.
Yes.
And then we'll probably maybe try to head over and see some of the Senior Bowl, just to see those quarterback prospects. But yeah, besides that, Tyler, let's move on to some happier thoughts. It's been a little sad. Yes. The Jags, you know, were eliminated. We're not going to talk about the draft Final yet. Final
four, fine.
Final four, exactly. We're not going to talk about the draft yet because, you know, that excites us as well. We'll wait a little bit longer.
Yep.
Let's go back to some happier times.
Happier times.
What if I told you December and January? December of 2017 and January of 2018. The beginning of January, since we're in January still. We had a wonderful bowl season. Probably the best time of the year. Not only because it's the holidays, but we get football almost every single day over the course of like 3 weeks.
It was quite beautiful.
Tyler, we are going to go ahead and talk about our top 5 moments each from bowl season. I wrote these down earlier today during lunch.
Are they written down in like order of like the first one you say is your like the number one moment?
No.
Or is it just top 5?
No, these are just my top 5 in no particular order.
Got it.
I'm going to go ahead. We're going to go one and one. We're going to go you say one, I say one. If we end up having the same one, we haven't talked about this yet, guys, just so you know. If we end up having the same one, then whoever went last on the practical point. Does that make sense? I'm bored vomiting now.
We'll figure it out.
Tyler, give me one of your 5.
One of my 5 biggest takeaways from bowl season was the narrative that the Big Ten was the best conference in all of college football because it went, like, I believe, like 8-1, 7-1.
Actually, number 5 on my list is Big Ten goes 7-1 in bowls. And then I wrote down the big important ones, including Penn State beating Washington 35-28 in the Fiesta Bowl. That's a New Year's 6. Wisconsin beating Miami 34-24 in the Orange Bowl. New Year's 6. Ohio State beating USC 24-7 in the Cotton Bowl. New Year's 6. I'm thinking group of 5. I'm sorry. New Year's 6. And then Michigan State annihilating Washington State 42-17 in the San Diego County Credit Union Holiday Bowl. The longest name for a bowl game that we could ever have. The only team that lost, the good old University of Michigan, who lost to South Carolina, Will Muschamp's South Carolina 26-19 in the Outback Bowl. Positives and negatives. We got the Bloomin' Onion.
Yes, we did.
Negatives. Will Muschamp beat Jim Harbaugh and McElwain couldn't?
Will Muschamp's a better coach. Like,
yeah, I guess, yeah.
True. I mean, I guess that's what that looks like.
I guess that's what that means. Go ahead and continue. I just want to say I had that as well.
All right, well.
Go ahead. But why did you say narrative, though? I have a question.
I just, because I don't personally subscribe to the narrative that these conference bowl records matter that much. Mm-hmm. Because all of these matchups are all so individually different. Does that make any sense to you?
Yeah, I'm looking at the four games that I picked out.
I don't subscribe to the my biggest takeaway is that this was a big narrative, and I do not subscribe to the theory that the Big Ten was the best conference in all of I don't really think conference supremacy matters that much anymore.
It doesn't, but it's a good talking point.
I mean, it's a good talking point, but I don't think that, like, I mean, you know, if you're a Big Ten fan, you know, enjoy it, have fun with it. That's really good for you. You win 7-1. Like, that's not I'm not going to knock that as like something bad.
Right.
I just don't think it's like, oh, Big Ten with 7-1, Ohio State belongs in the playoff now over.
No,
Alabama.
Yeah, I don't like, exactly. Because Michigan State played a great game against Wazoo doesn't mean that Ohio State deserved to be in the playoff.
Yeah, that's how I feel about this, because all of these matchups are so individually different.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that that's, you know, a useful data point that you can really objectively say that it all counts across the board. Like Ohio State would win against maybe Washington, or that Penn State would beat USC.
USC.
Right. I mean, these things are different, and I don't think that. I mean, it's a great season for Big Ten. I don't think it is as important as people make it out to be. But that was a big narrative of bowl season that I wanted to address.
Well, I agree with the fact that I think the Big Ten is the best conference, but not because of this specific
season. I
agree with it over the course of the entire season. I thought they were the conference that had the best season as a whole.
Yeah.
But let's go ahead and move on. My topic, my first one, says UCF goes undefeated, beat Auburn in the Peach Bowl, and the Shaquem Griffin story. Do you know the story about Shaquem Griffin? Number 18. Yeah. He's a 6'1", 223-pound linebacker. He's a senior, and he has one hand.
Mm-hmm.
So he was a twin, and then the umbilical cord wrapped around his arm and didn't get enough blood flow, so he has a stump on his arm like my grandfather used to. And this man was hands down the best player on that Peach Bowl field across the board. He was the American Conference Defensive Player of the Year. He apparently is an outstanding person. I really hope that UCF's big season and this big game on the national spotlight, national stage, really propels him to get drafted, because people may not draft him simply because of his arm.
I think that'd be an oversight.
I think it would be an oversight. I think this is an outstanding football player. I think he can make a difference at the next level. So that's one of my points. Also, congrats to UCF going undefeated.
Claiming a national championship.
Claiming. That
was gonna be my next point. It's kind of 2 points. It's just I'm gonna go with the
go
one
with
point.
It, run with it.
UCF's Peach Bowl win over Auburn. Great win. Great game.
Great season.
Great season. Fantastic. Love what you did. UCF went out and their AD claimed a national championship for the school.
Can we put this under like wildest stories of the year? This is pretty reckless.
So I have two personal feelings about this story.
Go ahead.
It is a big deal for me because I live in a house with people that a individual that goes to UCF. Mm-hmm. I have friends that go to UCF and they are a little mad at me about this. Just because I don't agree with them.
Right.
Which that's America. That's not how we work here. Mm-hmm. But I have two thoughts. I have come to like that UCF is doing this, and I'm going to explain why.
That they're embracing
it? I like that they are claiming it. It can get a little annoying. It's getting a little annoying now. been about a month removed. It's kind of annoying now. Because,
I'm all
like,
here for it. In
the sense that, like, now
I'm just a big troll, though. Yeah. So for me, it's like, all right, have fun.
I still laugh every time I see, like, 2017 national champions is the UCF football's like official, and like they put up banners at the practice field saying national champions. I just keep forgetting
that they had a parade downtown.
I like that they're claiming it because they are making themselves a talking point and making the Group of Five disparity between the Power Five and Group of Five something that needs to be talked about, something that will have to get addressed, because when eventually these the contracts change and they go for playoff expansion, this is gonna get brought up.
Mm-hmm.
I can feel that way. I can like what they're doing, And then I can also, my second feeling, I can also recognize that they are not the national champions. I love that they're doing this, but I still don't think they're national champions. And I take kind of a little bit of solace because I'm pretty sure a lot of UCF fans, not all of them, because I know some that they really fully are like, we are the national champions. But I feel like a lot of them, when they go to sleep at night,
they really sit there. And they take off their Scott Frost suit, and they put on their Mackenzie Miller pajamas.
All they can hear is the fan twirling, and they really think about it, and they're like, we're not really the national.
My question
champions.
Is, I want to know what UCF fans did during the actual national championship game. I have one of my best friends. She goes to UCF. Yeah. She was watching the game. Like she was texting me throughout the game.
I'm gonna call one of the people I know a hypocrite because he was like, I'm boycotting college football, the college football playoff.
No, you're not.
Because I think it's rigged.
No, you're
well,
not.
Well, he told me that.
Yeah, no.
And I was like, first of all, I was like, no, you're not. But maybe he would because like he's that kind of person. He might actually do that. And then he texted me in the middle of the national championship game. And my immediate response is, I thought you were boycotting this game. He's like, I'm watching it to see who's second place. I'm like, right.
He says second place?
Sure. It's like
how
my roommate was like, I might not even watch the Super Bowl because it's the Patriots, the Eagles. And I'm like, stop lying.
You're gonna watch.
Your butt is gonna be on that seat.
Calm down.
2 weeks
we're
from now,
eating chicken
we're all
wings
gonna be watching
and
it together.
Beer and fries, and it's gonna be great.
I think this is I think this is probably the most nationally relevant story of the bowl season.
Yeah, I think so.
I think
it's a great story because not only does it do we celebrate UCF for the actual talent that they have on the field, but it does that. It brought up the Group of Five disparity conversation, and
people are going to have to talk about this,
right? And while nothing will happen until at least 2022. We're going to at least have this kind of, conversation is good.
This conversation
is good.
It's good. And
dialogue is important.
I don't know if we've ever talked about this on the show.
But, go ahead.
I'm just going to put this out there. This is my other thing. UCF, I do believe you had a fantastic season. I do believe, though, that if you had made the playoff instead of Alabama, maybe you would have beaten Clemson.
We've talked about this off air. And I distinctly remember saying, I loved the Frost system, the Frost offense. I loved how hard-hitting and how energetic that defense was. But when they go up against Alabama, Baker Mayfield would have thrown...
For 600 yards.
Oh, my God. Easily. I think maybe they could beat Clemson, given what we saw in the Sugar Bowl.
I think Clemson...
But it's not...
I think Clemson would have been the best... I think Clemson would have been the best matchup for them, because Clemson, I think, has the least explosive offense.
They do have the best front four.
Yeah.
So it's a matter of can that offense develop. This is a cool scenario. See, this is why... I'm sorry for going a little bit off track, but this is why...
This is what bowl season made us talk about.
This is what bowl season made us talk about, and this is why I think that the representation of the Group of Five in the playoff is important, because we can say Georgia, Alabama, and Oklahoma would have blown them out of the water, and I fully believe that. But if we're talking about this Clemson, we're actually going into actual tactical football matchups right here that I actually have interest seeing. Could you imagine Mackenzie Milton trying to run that option offense with four monsters coming at him? How would you react? Would Jakeem Griffin be able to contain Kelly Bryant? You know what I mean? Like, this is a great question.
No, this is a really good question. This is what I like about it.
The answer is yes, by the way. I think Keith Griffin would have contained Kelly Bryant, but go ahead.
I don't know. I mean, like, Jared Stidham gets really big happy feet when he gets pressured, so I feel like they got in his head.
Yeah.
Kelly Bryant's way more mobile. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not going to...
He's an effective mobile.
I mean,
effective mobile.
This is what college football is so weird. Because they're like, oh, we beat Auburn.
I already miss it. Dude. Like, I already miss college
football. We beat
football.
Auburn, the team that beat Alabama and Georgia, so we And it's like, yeah, but Clemson beat Auburn, who lost to Alabama. So it's this whole like
so
cycle.
It's a whole
circle. Who would Clemson?
That's
like,
why the imperialism map is the best thing.
Yeah,
the Reddit, the college football. If you don't know, we talked about this earlier in the season. The college football Reddit imperialism map is the best thing on the internet during college football season.
It's a pretty good one.
Yeah, it's like a territorial battle. It's great.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is that I still think that I probably take the Power Five teams to beat UCF.
Mm-hmm. I think eight times out of ten.
Yeah. But that's the thing is that like now we're talking about it.
Yeah.
And we weren't talking about this with Western Michigan last year.
No.
We weren't talking about it with Houston. Which actually, if I'm allowed, I would like to take this to branch off into my next point.
Mm-hmm.
My next point would be I believe that the bowl season was a Group of Five power team showcase. if this makes any sense.
Yes.
You had FAU destroying Akron.
I was waiting for you to put some respect on my family's team's name.
Okay.
Sorry, that was a lot of words.
Florida Atlantic University Owls destroyed Akron, which was unfair to Akron. Akron didn't deserve that. And FAU deserved a better game.
Exactly. It was unfair to both Akron and FAU.
You had.
Well, you know the story behind that, right? At least because I'm not sure. Because my stepdad goes to FAU or went to FAU. My mom goes there now. We're in FAU house. I've gone to games my whole life. We heard that other teams, like group of five, like power five teams and better group of five teams, declined to go to the Boca Raton Bowl because they knew they were going to play FAU. They looked at FAU and said, "No, not happening."
We're not going to do that.
It's what happens with North Dakota State, where Wentz went.
Nobody
Division One teams them. Don't want to schedule them because they know that they can beat them.
Which is
they're too good.
Which is a good. I mean, power five teams, group five teams often have this argument that like nobody wants to schedule us when we're good. And it sucks the system screwing you. It is screwing you.
Yeah.
And until it gets fixed, I have to acknowledge that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, this Boise State beat Oregon by 10. Mm-hmm. Florida Atlantic beat Akron 50-3.
Can I pause you right there?
Temple looked really good.
Can I pause you right there with FAU? Because that was one of my points. I put FAU dominates Akron to move to 11-3. And my bigger point was that it sets up a potential UCF-type year for 2018. And let me tell you why. Because Kiffin in those press conferences always said, this is a good team. We need to improve. He says, we got great players, but I have NFL caliber players sitting behind them waiting to play. Their transfer, Jason Driscoll, younger brother of Jeff Driscoll, was a starting quarterback for FAU this year. He's gone. He declared that he's not going to come back and use his final year of eligibility. You have Daniel Parr, who transferred. You had... DeAndre Johnson from the Last Chance U player, who ended up getting blood clots. They have a transfer from Oklahoma. If he didn't get in trouble at Oklahoma and transferred to FAU, he would have been the backup to
Baker Mayfield
because we were talking about what's his name who was supposed to redshirt
Kyler Murray,
who was the backup to Baker Mayfield this year as a true freshman, was supposed to redshirt for the future. Like this 4-star quarterback who now is at FAU, whose name is escaping right now.
I don't got it either.
You know what I mean? Like they have the players.
Yeah.
And most of that team is coming back. Motor, Devin Singletary, their running back, is one of my dark horse Heisman candidates for next year. Like I'm serious. Like this team can produce a UCF level season. The cherry on top of it all is that they start a home and home series with UCF starting next year in Orlando. They're gonna be playing.
I'm watching
UCF.
Every snap of that game.
I might be at that game.
I might go to that game. We should go.
Seriously. I don't know where my life's gonna take me, but I think I might want to be in Orlando for that game. Then the year after they're gonna play in Boca Raton. So that was one of my points.
That's part of my point is that I wanted like this season was a showcase. This bowl season was a showcase for who I think are going to be the best group of five teams that are going to play for that New Year's Six spot next year.
Mm-hmm.
I think UCF's going to take a little bit of a step back.
Yeah,
they got a really good roster.
Right.
But like losing Scott Frost has to account for something.
I think he's a generational coach.
Yeah, I don't
a college presidential college.
And Josh Heupel is
good,
an okay hire. He fits a similar system to what you do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for knowing what you wanted, I think UCF made a right hire. I'm not sold on him as a head coach.
Right.
His offenses at Oklahoma and Missouri they're good but bad at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
At Missouri, up until the last half of this season.
The Florida game, let's be realistic.
Yeah, up until the Florida game, and to an extent the Georgia game, because they scored a lot against Georgia.
That's true.
Up until the back half of this season... For the year and a half prior, Missouri's MO was that their offense just blew by lesser competition, but they couldn't do anything against teams of similar or greater talent.
Mm-hmm.
So UCF has a better talent than most of the teams it plays.
Right.
So that should help. I mean, I think they're going to take a little bit of a step back. I feel like if this year was 13-0, next year's going to be like a 9-3-ish.
Which is still a good season, but it's not.
Great season. But I think Boise State, I think they got Brett Rippon coming back. Boise State, FAU, I'm not totally sold on USF.
Well, that leads me to my third point.
Yeah, but that, real quick,
uh-huh.
Before you go to that, that's really my thing, is that I love seeing this. I love taking bowl season and not going too much into it, but being like, I don't want to take, oh, this one win means that this team's going to be a 10-win team next year.
Right.
But, like, with some teams, you can look at it and, like, a 50-3 demolishing of Akron by FAU
is a pretty good sign.
Confidence building.
Yeah.
I don't want to take too much into bowls, but that's one of the things I love, is especially with the group of five, seeing what are going to be the big teams next year.
Right.
Which goes to your next point.
Which goes to my next point, where before we go to my next point, FAU opens the season at Oklahoma next year, and then, like I said before, they play UCF. Two games to watch, great offenses, hopefully, you know, see what happens. My third point, when you mentioned USF, is Quentin Flowers is for real.
Yeah.
I said possible dark horse quarterback drafted. Those are just my notes. They beat Texas Tech 38-34 in the Birmingham Bowl in a very back-and-forth fourth quarter, where he led the team on two potential game-clinching drives. He led them. I see Quentin Flowers. His upside is Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
I know that's a bold statement, but I think his upside is Russell Wilson. And then I think at the worst, I think he's going to be a manageable backup quarterback in the league. Or
if he transitions to like an athlete,
that's
role,
what I was going to say. Yeah,
he'd be dangerous.
That's what I'm.
Because at the East West Shrine Bowl, mm-hmm. he was quarterback,
right?
And he played him at quarterback, but they also practiced him on punt returns and mm-hmm. like,
which is good for him.
Yeah, it's good to put him out there with coaches. So
right.
He's for real.
So that's what I took in, from UCF. Those are my three group of five. Three of my 5 points were group of five related.
Yeah. My next point is kind of similar. So I've gone through 3 points at this point.
Uh-huh. I've gone through four.
I've got two left.
Mm-hmm.
My second to last one is my three, like, it's kind of my three most, like, my favorite, like, wins.
Okay.
Like, my most impressive wins.
I think one of them might overlap with mine. What was my last point? Which is just one game.
My last one was my fifth point, and my final point will be my favorite win.
Okay.
But I'm going to go to that later. My other ones, Wake Forest defeating Texas A&M in the Belk Bowl.
Huge
with my
game.
Boy, well, he's not my, I don't really know him that well. We used to interact together. But John Wolford
mm-hmm.
from Bishop Kenny High School in Duval, Jacksonville, Florida.
Jacksonville is Duval, right?
Yes.
Like the Which city, because yeah. I told my stepdad this.
The entire city is within the
is
county.
Is one county, right?
Yeah.
One county. They're synonymous.
Yeah, it's synonymous. Which I saw on Twitter when somebody's like, Duval's such a stupid chant. Like, it doesn't encompass the surrounding areas. I'm like, yes, because Jacksonville and its surrounding areas is a stupid chant. Why do people hate things? Anyway, Wake Forest defeating Texas A&M, outlasting them. I don't think Texas A&M thought that Wake Forest was going to go out and have that day. That was that way. John Wolford's, this Wake Forest team retires as the highest scoring the best offensive Wake Forest team of all time.
This season?
Yeah, this season. Wake Forest doesn't have a great history.
No.
but their offense was for real.
Wake Forest, I never played
in. Their offense was for real this year. And I think what's going to happen to John Wolford, he's going to get his shot to play in the NFL. Maybe not as quarterback, more like a Julian Edelman. Like he's like a serious athlete, so he'll be like that undersized receiver.
Mm-hmm.
But my next most impressive win was Iowa State holding Memphis to 20 points.
Wow, that's big.
At home. Memphis basically played a home game.
Mm-hmm. They played in Nashville.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Iowa State defeated them 21-20. Iowa State came like 5 minutes, almost 5 minutes. They were within 5 minutes of becoming the first team in FBS. Sorry, the first team in college football history to ever finish a season without losing a fumble. They lost a fumble.
Oh, my gosh.
They lost a fumble into the end zone on their last drive of the game.
That's so sad.
Which is very poetic, in my opinion. And then they ended up like stopping Memphis.
Can I just say, what a season for Iowa State.
Yeah.
What a year. A walk-on quarterback, a coach that's exploding onto the scene.
I think they're going to be really good next year.
Yeah. Their
top running back is coming back, David Montgomery. Like, yeah, but my third...
Mm-hmm.
Most impressive win that I was blown away by Mississippi State defeating the Louisville Cardinals, the Lamar Jackson Cardinals.
Yes,
I forget the exact score
bowl.
In the Tax Slayer
in
Bowl
Duval.
in my city, But that really has nothing to do with it. Defeating Lamar Jackson 31-27 without their starting quarterback, without their head coach.
Yeah, no one saw
it. It speaks volumes to the culture.
Do you remember when we were doing our bowl picks, and I'm sorry to interrupt you so aggressively, when we said, we should go to this game?
Yeah.
You should have gone to this game.
I should have gone to the game. I tried. I was about to, but then, you know, family and holidays. But, I mean, it speaks volumes to the winning culture that Dan Mullen created at Mississippi State. 28th,
right? 28th of December?
30th.
30th, oh, okay.
That Keaton Thompson, a true freshman, went out there. That he was even able to get a four-star quarterback to go to Mississippi State.
Yeah.
Who was a backup for the entire season. Played a lot. He was the primary backup. Mm-hmm. They lose their like redshirt junior signal caller at the last game of the season to a horrifying injury. Mm-hmm.
To the right.
They go out. They go against one of the a Heisman winner.
Mm-hmm. Then we come in and steal their coach.
Yeah,
Who turned around their entire pro? Who made also, their program relevant?
Yeah. Also, their interim head coach for this game is now on our staff, Greg Knox. Anyway.
Oh boy.
But they make Lamar Jackson throw four picks. Lamar Jackson was basically useless throwing the ball the entire game. Mm-hmm. Mississippi State did that to him.
Yeah.
And came out of left field for me. I mean, I picked Louisville to run away with this game, and I was actively rooting against my pick while watching the game because I was like, "What a game this would be!" If it's kind of sad that Lamar Jackson's final game was this, but like, what a game for them! I was very impressed. Yeah. Those are my three most impressive performances.
Now, my favorite game, which is what I wrote, I didn't write three most impressive, but I wrote my favorite game. Death. Taxes and TCU coming back, in bowl games to win. Down 21-10 at the half against Stanford. TCU comes back to win 39-37. They outscored Stanford 29-16 in the second half. In the Valero Alamo Bowl. If you don't get that reference, I think 3 years ago, TCU came back against Oregon in the Alamo Bowl in, like, a triple overtime game, which was hands down the most entertaining bowl game of that season. And I was watching this game, and I was like, oh, great, game over, Stanford. Bryce Love's going to run all over them. And that didn't happen. That did not. They came back in the second half. Gary Peterson did the Bugs Bunny.
Patterson.
Gary Patterson did the Bugs Bunny, Michael Secret stuff thing at halftime from Space Jam. It was great. It was great. They came back. It was a wonderful game. What I also took from that, Bryce Love is now coming back for his senior season.
Yeah, that was crazy.
I put early Heisman front runner? Question mark.
Right. I mean, as long as he's like, you know, is playing on like more than one leg.
Yeah, I was gonna say
which he was for like half a season, which is still amazingly impressive.
And that leg was bothering him during this bowl game.
Yeah,
towards the end of the game.
He was still the best player on the field, but. I think, I heard that the reason he wants to do that is because he wants to be a doctor when his NFL, mm-hmm. whenever his NFL career
him.
Is over.
Good for him.
So he's like, I'm not leaving. Like, I don't think.
He's thinking
football decision wise, awful decision. But for his life journey, the way he wants to go, I'm happy for that.
I
man.
Support that. Fully.
And
fully support
speaks a lot of volumes also to the type of program David Shaw has where he's mm-hmm. able to get these guys to come back.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a great game.
That was an outstanding
fantastic
game. That was my favorite game. That was one of the most entertaining games to watch this bowl season. So those are my 5 points. You got one more, Tyler?
Yes. My favorite moment of bowl season, and I've got the clip of this moment. No, you can't watch.
Okay.
Not yet.
All right.
I want you to listen to it.
Okay.
So I've got my volume.
Are listeners going to be able to hear this?
Yeah. Oh, it's up. It's
okay.
up there.
All
right. This is going to hear this. The final play of this game.
I might guess this.
I just
Should I guess this? Should I know this?
No.
Should I know this?
You'll know it, I think, the moment it happens.
Okay.
It's just what this meant for the program that it was.
Uh-huh.
Speaks of all, and it was just my favorite moment. So here we go.
Rosa third. Has room. Rosa third. It's all touchdown.
I
was
going to say that.
New Mexico State goes on to win. Not only had they go on to win the Arizona Bowl against Utah State 26-20 in overtime, not only after having made a bowl for the first time in, I believe, over 60 years, and then they go on to win it. This is a bowl in Arizona, and New Mexico State fans rush the field. Yo,
I need to see the clip. I need to see the clip now.
Yeah.
You guys need to go back and watch this clip.
Yeah, go back and watch this clip. It's about like a 7-minute highlight
video. I'll put it in our show notes on SoundCloud so you guys can just click the link.
The players are running around. They're excited. And like, the fans are the rushing field. The field.
That's great.
That was my favorite moment to see that, like, how much that meant for this program. You could argue that in this moment, other than maybe the national championship, this game meant more to these players. If you're watching this clip, this game seems like it meant more to these players than anything they'll ever do.
Mm-hmm.
And it meant more to this program than most games to most programs ever.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just an amazing thing to watch. Because I didn't watch the entire game live, but I watched the last couple minutes. Mm-hmm. I watched overtime.
I didn't see this game, but I remember watching that
one,
clip on
that SVP. Was my favorite moment.
I think SVP made it his one thing, great thing I saw today.
Yeah.
That's great. That was my favorite moment. And you know what that encompasses? Sports. That is sports. That energy, that euphoria, that love. That's why we sit around and we talk once a week about this.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we write articles. That's why we read. That's why we watch. That's why we listen. That's all. That's the reason why we do it. We love sports. Those are the good stories.
Sports are cool.
Sports are great.
Great.
Tyler, do you have anything else to say? I think that's a wrap-up of our bowl.
That's a wrap-up of our bowl season takeaways. Bowl season in review. It was a great one.
Twas
a great one.
Twas an outstanding bowl season. Tyler, anything quick to say before we go?
Patriots, I hope you lose in the Super Bowl. I'm joking.
I'm not.
Well, I mean,
okay, Sergio's not.
I don't hate the Patriots.
Sergio does.
But I will not be rooting for you. So.
Sergio will not be rooting for you either. I don't know why I'm talking myself in the third person.
This is not a situation where I'm like, oh, so I have. How do I explain this? This is not one of those, oh, you beat us, I hope you go all the way, man.
Nope.
Uh-uh.
No, not for me. No. Keep an eye, okay, in terms of sideline judgment housekeeping, keep an eye out later this week for our College Football Manifesto episode, and that will put a bookmark on our college football coverage for this year.
And then we will stop talking about 2017.
Then we'll go into 2018. Keep an eye out for our way too early top 25 episode. It'll be an interesting one. We're gonna do a National Signing Day episode when that happens in February. We're gonna talk about the NFL draft. We're gonna bring Courtney Mims back on. She's gonna talk basketball with us. Catch us up. It's gonna be a great time.
In basketball news, Gators got their first win at Rupp Arena. The Florida Gators got their first win at Rupp Arena against Kentucky since 2014.
Yes, which was the year that we went
Final Four.
To the Final Four, and we went undefeated in SEC play. We went 18-0 in SEC play. But yes, ladies and gentlemen, that is it for this week's episode of Sideline Judgment. Keep an eye out for that College Football Manifesto episode later this week. My name is Sergio.
My name is Tyler.
And we are not biased, but go Gators and go Eagles in the Super Bowl.
Yes, because my Jaguars are not playing.
But go because Eagles. It's the Patriots. But
#FlyEaglesFly.
#FlyEaglesFly. Have a great week, everybody. See you soon.